Well, good morning and welcome to The Morning Voice. This is Tom Moulton, and I'm a lucky guy. I get to be your host every Thursday, and we talk about everything, attractions and tourism and special events and things that really are important to our listening audience that like to get out and not sit on the couch all day. And boy, do we have someone really special to talk today, because he and I met each other last week. We were at a workshop on some very important topic, and I'll just give you the initials, but you probably know what it means. But before we do that, I want to welcome Dr. Greg Watson. He's from Pima, I'll get that word out early in the morning, Pima Community College, and he's one of the top professors there on entrepreneurship. And good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Tom. It's great to be with you, and I really enjoyed that workshop that we did together.
And of course, I'm calling him Greg instead of Dr. Watson, even though I love that name. But Greg and I got to know each other at this workshop, and we had some wonderful audience that we were having a conversation with. We weren't preaching to them, but we wanted to help make sure that they're on top of this thing called AI. Now, before we get into this AI stuff, demystify, I love that word that you used. We're going to talk to our co-host, Tim Vimmerstedt. Are you there? And good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you, sir?
It's glad to hear your voice as always. And you and I know, had lots of conversations yesterday as we prepare for this show. But we have this regular thing, if you all listen with Tim every single Thursday, and we talk about what his favorite things to do are this weekend. And Tim, you got quite a list, but we're only going to go over two of them because there's a little special announcement we're going to talk about, especially because they're our sponsor, Visit Tucson. So go ahead, Tim.
Right. All right, I'll get started here. First of all, the most important event of the day is happy birthday, Tom.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, I should have taken the day off.
You should have, yeah.
But here I am, you know, the show must go on, as they say.
True, true. I feel like Willard Scott. I should have your picture on a jar of jelly or something.
Well, I don't know how else to answer, comment on that one, but thank you, Tim. You and I have celebrated many birthdays together as a former employee and just as a good friend. So it was nice to hear you talk about the most important event today is
Tom Moulton's birthday.
Go ahead.
Well,
go
we
ahead.
we have Wyatt Earp Days coming up down in Tombstone, May 24th and through May 26th, from 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Allen Street. That's a really fun event. I don't know if you've ever been down for that, but they always put on a good program down there. Good partners. And then Visit Tucson is launching their Summer Savings Pass. Visit Tucson has launched their Summer Streetcar Savings Pass, encouraging businesses along the free-to-ride streetcar line during traditionally slow summer months. So users can sign up for a free digital savings pass that includes special deals like receiving up to 25% off select items, free beverages. There are plenty of buy one, get one deals at participating businesses in the four entertainment districts. More than 50 businesses have signed up and are included in the savings pass. It's spread throughout Main Gate Square, Historic Fourth Avenue, downtown, and the Mercado districts. So these deals and discounts at participating restaurants, museums, clothing and gift shops, salons, barbers, music stores, yoga studios, bars, and more downtown Tucson on the modern streetcar route. So to learn more about the Summer Streetcar Savings Pass and to sign up, go to visittucson.org/streetcarsavings. And be sure to go to thisistucson.com and visittucson.org to learn more about these activities and much, much more. I don't think they posted your birthday on those sites, but I'll follow up with them.
Well, I did wake up to a nice happy birthday kiss. So not from Tim, though, for those listening.
I was going to say.
from Ellen. She was there first. And of course, we woke up also to a broken air conditioning. So welcome to my stress after I get off the radio interview here with Greg. But we'll worry about that in a couple hours. So, well, Tim, thank you very much. And it's important, I think, to always feature what Visit Tucson is doing. Now, we, the Attractions Alliance, are not in this particular summer savings pass because we're already in the best discount savings pass called the Tucson Attractions Passport. And we don't have an offer just for the summer. We have an offer all year round for all the attractions. But Visit Tucson did ask us to join in the summer discount program, which is $10 off the Tucson Attractions annual passport. And you can also find more information about that by visiting visittucson.org. And look for summer savings, not summer streetcar savings, but summer savings, and you'll find more. All right, we got the sponsors out of the way, and now we're going to get into the meat. Again, good morning, Dr. Watson, and I'm glad you're here.
Good morning, Tom.
Now, just to give you a little bit of background, we did a survey to our members and about what are the kinds of educational programs they would like to see. We're a 501c6, and so we have a kind of a marketing mission to make sure that there are no hidden treasures in Southern Arizona, especially for folks that are planning on visiting Tucson, or they have a choice of going between Phoenix, that urban jungle, or come down here to the living desert. And we always try to feature our attractions. And we have indoor and outdoor attractions depending on the year. And we're going to be talking a little bit about those summer attractions in the 8 o'clock hour. Tim and I are going to reminisce about some of our memories of the summer attractions here in Tucson. But what happened was the survey showed that everybody was superly interested about artificial intelligence. And it's in everything we do lately. I mean, even I have an event software, Greg, and I went ahead and put the who, what, when, where, and why. And then at the very end, it says, would you like AI to interpret what you just did? And, of course, I said, what the heck? It's free, you know, and I did. And it took all my information and jumbled it up and then organized it with headlines and boldface and color and everything for whoever they thought that should be interested. And there was something that was probably 99.9% done. And I said, let's do it, because it emphasized a lot of the things that I was thinking should be emphasized, but it took it to the next level. And, you know, so that's just a small sampling of kinds of things that can happen with AI. And, you know, Greg and I, when we were at the workshop and the previous conversations before he actually took the stage, was that AI is a tool. And it's not going to substitute Tom Moulton, okay? AI doesn't have a birthday. Well, it may have a birthday, but yeah, you know, I'm sure it does somewhere. Is there a father of AI?
No, there's not. But, okay. There's an awful lot of different companies that have been working very hard on it.
That's right. And so, you know, when we were searching around who we would like to have talk about AI, I, of course, since we're in the advertising and marketing business, I called my friends at the advertising organization here at the Tucson Advertising. It's all about helping out the ad agencies and here and the folks that are involved in advertising and marketing. And I asked them, who would you like to see if you were in an AI conference? And Dr. Watson's name came up, and he graciously agreed in a very, actually, I think it was maybe a week before, but it turned out to be beautiful. We had some top marketing people from the attractions in attendance, and Dr. Watson gave a, we probably could have gone another hour, I think, with Dr. Watson, but we had some time restraints, and then we had a guy from an ad agency, and he gave his version of what AI was, but I was really interested, Dr. Watson, during his presentation, he was complimenting you on your presentation, and I hope that's normally what you see when you have two people giving presentations, but I thought that was very complimentary to you, of course. He took it from a different perspective because he's an ad guy, and he was a little bit concerned about, I think more so, of what might be happening to the ad agency business. So obviously it's speculation, but from what we got out of the meeting is what you're going to hear today, because we wanted to share it with our listening audience, because this is something that can be helpful to everybody, can help you do a better job. And I hope that today, by spending some time with Dr. Watson, that you'll actually be able to excel maybe in your workplace. So demystify is a wonderful word that Dr. Watson has utilized when we were talking about AI. So in a very simplistic form, let's start with the elementary definition of what the heck is AI.
Well, I think you did a really wonderful job of explaining it when you said that you put all that information into one of your existing software tools.
Yes.
And it helped organize and summarize and take your material to that next level. And so it it really takes that material, and it takes machine learning or artificial intelligence, and it organizes the content, then uses your style, your information, and helps solve problems. So there's a term that we like to use that's called a co-pilot, and an awful lot of software tools in the industry have said, we're going to create a tool that works alongside you, doesn't replace you, but works alongside you. And we introduced that term in that workshop called Faster, Better, Smarter.
So leave it at that, because we're going to do our first break, and we'll be back with Dr. Watson. And this is The Morning Voice here on KVOI. 10:30 a.m. Well, thank you, Matt, for that intro. And it is my birthday, but I'm working. And I have a very special guest today, Dr. Greg Watson from Pima Community College. And we are unlocking or demystifying artificial intelligence. And we just got started into the conversation, and we had our first break. But Greg, let's just pick up where you left off. And we were, clearly talking about AI is in our life, and we can accept it and probably be much more successful, or we can just move on with our life and not worry about AI. And what say you to that?
Well, I think it's really exciting, because if we choose to ignore AI, the world's going to move on past us. And so we've got a choice, just like we had calculators back in the 80s or software like spreadsheets and word processors. Today, they're just part of our life everywhere. And so AI is going to be embedded in the workplace. It's going to be embedded in absolutely everything that we do. And so we've got a choice that you can either learn to adopt it and have it be part of your life, or the world's going to move on beyond you. And I think it's just a wonderful tool, no different than the calculator, no different than the word processor or spreadsheet. And so I saw a startup team just a few years back that took that, just like you used the AI tool that was in the software product that you had, as a co-pilot to work alongside you to make your work faster, better, smarter. They used it to enhance some of their idea and make their work just a little bit better. And when we think about this as a tool that just makes our lives easier, makes our lives faster, makes our lives better, I think it's an exciting opportunity for us. And so I don't think we ought to be afraid of it. I don't think that we ought to fear it. There's a human that's still that critical component that gives us the ability to be creative, be more innovative, and work a little bit more efficiently. So that's my response, and I think it's just an exciting world.
Well, yeah, during the break, I asked you, is there a father of AI? And I didn't think there was, but maybe there was. But you gave me an answer that there is no father of AI.
Well, we've been working with machine learning, and so there's an awful lot of different technologies that actually go into artificial intelligence. And so when we think about that word artificial intelligence, it's encompassing a lot of different technologies, a lot of different tools. And so when we use this, it's a very generic catch-all phrase for a lot of these more advanced computer technologies that just keep getting better. And right now, AI is innovating, and about every 2 weeks, the tools change, and the tools just get a little bit better. And so when we look at where things are going, 2 years from now, it's going to look quite a bit different than it looks today. And we just need to dive in and practice and get involved and have it be a little bit part of our daily lives. It's no different than email and the internet. It's just continued to evolve. I'm sure if we think back about how the internet looked to you and I, 15, 20 years ago, it's changed quite a bit. And so AI will continue to be a part of our lives and will continue to change.
Now, you know, often when we have a technical difficulty in making our phone work or a new program, we quickly say, is there a 12-year-old in the audience? Because they seem to embrace it. But that's not necessarily the truth for AI, is it?
That's one of the fascinating things about artificial intelligence today is that the audience that's actually becoming more proficient and better at using artificial intelligence is the older worker, the older person, because we're familiar with that old phrase, garbage in, garbage out. And the more experienced worker is capable of writing better prompts and putting better information into these artificial intelligence engines, and they're better capable of assessing the material that goes out, that comes out of it, to figure out what is missing from it, and their awareness of what needs to be tweaked, and then how to change a prompt, how to tweak the information that we put into those engines. And the younger, less experienced workers are not necessarily as aware as the more experienced workers. And so I don't want to put an age into that definition. I want to think more in the context of experience. But quite honestly, the older individual, when they start playing with it, they get incredibly, incredibly good at artificial intelligence because of that skill and that experience.
Well, I remember when I first talked to you, I was mentioned to you that I was at a conference put on by the Oro Valley Chamber, and he asked the question, a professor over at the U of A, your former employee, how many people are using AI? And this was about 18 months ago, and he said 4.
Out of the entire audience.
Of the entire audience. There's like 50 people in there. And I was one that did not raise my hand. As a matter of fact, I'm the guy that 4 years later heard what this new portable storage system called the thumb drive. I don't know why. Somewhere in my career, I just didn't need to know what a thumb drive was. I was a desktop guy or
right,
a laptop guy. And we were changing PowerPoint files and everything, you know, via email or some file server. And then somewhere in some workshop I went to, somebody was pulling out this thing and plugging it in and saying, and this is my presentation. And I go, what the heck is that? And of course, back then it was probably maybe 4 gigabytes or so you could get on this thing. And now God knows what it is, 250 gigabytes. I don't know what it's just huge with this little teeny thumb drive can produce. So I think in that case, probably the younger folks knew about that before the older folks did. And it seems like I'm now in that classification where everybody's younger than me. So I'm now in that category of the older folks, which is really a kind way of saying I'm getting old. But, you know, I'm in that phase right now of playing. you know, and it seemed like 18 months ago it was just ChatGPT, and then all of a sudden, and just maybe because I became aware of it, it started to be in my Microsoft 365, and then it started to be in Eventbrite, my events, you know, and all of a sudden it's everywhere. And it didn't seem like 6 months ago it wasn't everywhere.
That's correct.
So what you say that, wait a minute, if you think you know it now, you're 2 years from now, it's not even going to be recognizable. It's going to be so different.
It's just going to be embedded in absolutely everything.
And it is a tool. There's no question. But we have to embrace that, don't we?
We do. And it's an incredibly powerful tool. It enhances the work that we do, and so it allows us to, you know, really amplify our voice, amplify our power. So it takes the mundane task that used to take 4, 5, 6 hours for us, as you used the example in your work, to organize and construct the information for the program that you were creating. But then it amplified it and made it far more sophisticated. So when we think about the opportunity for employees to be innovative and creative, it amplifies the time. There's a study that the state of Arizona did for their employees. And this was using technology from a year ago, and it's gotten a lot better now. And it created 2.5 hours of extra workplace productivity for their employees. And that's pretty incredible if you think about giving us 2.5 hours of time.
Well, we'll be back. This is The Voice, and we are learning so much more about AI as we try to unlock the mystery. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm Tom Moulton, your host.
If you'd like to watch live, we're on Facebook Live if you'd like to watch the show. Again, if you'd like to join us and watch on Facebook Live, we are on. If you'd like to watch The Morning Voice instead of in addition to listening to it. Now back to the birthday boy, Tom Moulton.
Yeah. Good morning, Tom Moulton, The Morning Voice. Yeah, we forgot, Matt, you're absolutely right, at the beginning of the show to let people know that we are beta testing our new podcast system. And Dr. Watson, if you look a little bit to your left, there's me talking, okay? And then when you and I are talking, it goes to a double screen there.
I think I got my bald spot on my head quite nice.
Well, that's probably a better shot. Man, I don't know if you can put Dr. Watson next to there. You don't have to feature me, just me, because Dr. Watson is the show.
That'll be a spiral development time.
So this is beta. So please pardon, you know, some of our learning curve here. And our audience now, Dr. Watson, is, you know, clearly at least doubled, because we're on now on Facebook, you know, instead of, and as well as being on 10:30 a.m., as we say up here, the trusted local news and talk station. I love the word you were talking about, and you said Copilot. Of course, Microsoft has called its AI Copilot, so I don't know whether they registered that as a trademark or not, but I think it you know, the part of demystifying AI is also creating some fear in people, meaning just as robots did in the car industry, and when they started putting the doors on and doing all the welding and then doing all the painting and everything, you know, clearly there were people that lost their job, skilled people, especially in the painting side, that lost their job. Should we be fearsome of AI?
So that's a valid concern. There's a very real concern, especially when I talk to my students that are out there about whether the jobs availability are going to be out there, particularly at the entry-level positions within business, whether AI is going to replace those jobs. So it's a very real concern. It's a very real fear. And so that feeling, that emotional response, is very normal. It's very real. But if we think back through history, when we look at all of the technological innovations that have occurred, there has been some job displacement that has occurred. But for the most part, this is a technology that's going to be that word that's called Copilot. It's going to work alongside us. It's going to allow us to work faster, better, and smarter. Over time, as it as AI becomes more intelligent and more capable, there will be some job displacement. But where those secretaries, where those accountants, where those typing pools disappeared, people moved to new jobs where they used their brains and they used more intelligent capabilities. And so when we think about AI, we're now thinking about how do we teach AI literacy and how do we build these AI skill sets into the everyday skills that everybody knows how to utilize as everyday parts of their workforce skills. So AI literacy is going to be a job skill that we're teaching from now going forward into the future. So I don't think it's a real concern. Will there be a very minimal displacement? But it's not going to occur immediately, but it will occur a little bit over time, just like we lost some of those typing pools. Those typing pools don't exist any longer.
I think what's unique about having you here and as well as the workshop, that your day job, let's say 2 years ago, didn't include AI, did it?
No, it didn't. But we're now using it in teaching. We're using it in curriculum development. We're using it in the skills that we're trying to teach our students. Our students are using it on a regular basis to assist them in critical thinking. They're using it to help them better understand. They're using it as a tutor to help them with their homework. So it's part of what our students are already picking up as skills. And so it's just a part of daily life.
So I think when you decide that outside of high school you're going to continue your education, it's embedded now, as you mentioned, in just about every teaching class to a certain extent. Now, you're teaching marketing and entrepreneurism and some other things are related to that. So clearly, AI is embedded into your teaching. Now, is it also, as you just indicated, embedded in, say, the School of Eller? Are they talking about AI and what they're doing there that you're aware of since you're a former University of Arizona? I'm sure you have some friends and you're keeping in touch.
Every college and university across the country is looking at how do we embed AI into our curriculum. It's just a core part of the future job skills that our employers are demanding. So when we meet with our industry advisory boards, they are sitting there saying, we don't know exactly what this is going to look like, but we understand that in order for us to remain competitive, these are the job skills that we want our future employees to have. And so it's being embedded directly into curriculums across the country, absolutely everywhere. And so we're trying to embed both AI literacy and an ethical understanding of how to ethically and appropriately use AI in the workplace.
Now, is that reached the high school level too as well?
Students are starting to use this at a very young age. And so, yes, you're going to find that students they've got the AI apps right on their telephone. So that shows you how old I am. I called it a telephone rather than a phone. So, yes, the AI apps are right on their phones.
Yeah, I went out. And, of course, I think it was not a commercial for Android or Apple, but I had an Android phone, and we got an information. It said your next download's going to include some AI software. And then, of course, it seemed shortly thereafter, Apple phone on the 16th said, includes AI, and no extra charge. But we're not quite there yet, so you can buy the phone, but it'll be downloaded. That's how fast.
At a later date.
Yeah, so that's how fast, obviously, competition breeds, new innovation. But what I've noticed on my phone, my i16 phone now, is that because I get sometimes 200 emails a day, which is crazy, I now get a summary.
Yes.
Of every one of those, and now I can make an informed decision before I delete. And it's not just spam. I mean, saying that this is a spam, obviously we're getting phone calls now, and it tries to recognize what's a spam or not. And there are times where I did answer the phone, and I thank goodness I did because it wasn't a spam. But I would say they're probably, 90% effective in identifying a message as spam?
Well, they're not only effective, but they learn from your behavior. So they do an incredibly good job of picking up on the emails that you delete. Then they know they've learned from that behavior so that they recognize the pattern of the emails that you want to delete and that you want to keep.
Now, you covered that in your workshop last week about this wonderful tool that the more it gets to know you, the better it can reflect who you are. Is that hopefully that's a good way to introduce this subject, because we only have about a minute and a half. But this is a learning software or a learning. You don't call it a software. I apologize, but this is a learning opportunity for your AI programs.
So all of the AI platforms out there are starting to develop deep memory. And so they will actually learn your writing style. For businesses, this is really great because they can learn your branding. They can learn your branding voice. And so it will start to respond with your company's voice, your company's style, and all of the knowledge about your business. So we can develop chatbots that will respond. I call them a chatbot, but it's an AI agent. So you can have an automated voice attendant that actually is capable of answering questions when someone calls in about what your office hours are, what your products are, what your prices are. And they are just like a voice attendant that would answer the telephone, and they have the complete knowledge base of all of your documents that are completely loaded into their system, and they can answer most of the telephone questions that are commonly coming into your office.
Yeah, and we're here at the SAAA, we're old school in that we have a 24/7 answering service when we decide to put on the night bell. But then I noticed that more and more are using virtual assistants. And it was pretty frustrating there in the beginning with Siri or hello, Android, or whatever the comment you have, hello, Google. But it's getting so much better. And we'll talk a little bit about what AI is doing to help, in a sense, get the information out. And because somebody likes to call and talk to a live individual, and that's becoming a lot less frustrating now. So this is Tom Moulton, and we're here on The Morning Voice. I'm here every Thursday. Special guest today, Dr. Watson from Pima Community College, and we're demystifying AI this entire hour. We'll be right back. Well, we're back, and, you know, Dr. Watson and I, prior to him coming to the workshop last week, we had, I think it was probably an hour-long conversation, maybe even longer, and there were several, we talked about everything to help demystify AI to me, because, again, I'm not that young student, but you don't have to be a young student. You can be my age and still learn to use AI. And one of the things we talked about, because I wanted to make it relative to the audience that we were presenting to, and we were presenting to a group of marketing managers and directors. And some entrepreneurs were there on how they can be a better marketing manager, simply stated. Because what's happened with our attractions here in the community, they're predominantly run by nonprofits. And, of course, if you work in the nonprofit world, it's kind of a joke in the sense that you're underpaid and you're overworked if you work for a nonprofit. And let me just tell you, even the best nonprofits, you are overworked and often underpaid. But we're there for the passion, the mission statement. And that's exactly what I'm doing here at the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, because our mission is to make sure there's no hidden treasures out there, and everyone gets to know about the attractions that are within their community. So we had this conversation about what can we do, how do we make this relevant to that poor marketing manager that's there, and they're opening the door in the morning. They make sure all the lights are turned on. The bathrooms are cleaned, and they welcome the first guests, or maybe the two or three employees that open it up. And then finally, by 10 o'clock, they can sit down and do their real job, marketing. And then at 4 o'clock, it starts all over again, you know, where they, you know, turn the lights off, make sure there's nobody hidden in the bathroom, and so on and so forth. And a lot of these folks are married or they have a life outside of work, you know. So we wanted to, after talking a little bit about this with Dr. Watson, we got like, how it's they have so much more to do than the time that's allotted if they want to have some kind of a balance of life. So what does this mean to the folks that we are talking to last week, to their lives, to their work lives, to their personal lives?
And we talked about a lot of different things in that workshop. Yes. But during our break, one of the things that you brought up was creating images.
Yes.
And so a lot of people are using these artificial intelligence tools like ChatGPT or Google Gemini or some of the other tools that are out there to create images. And you talked about how you created a prompt that you typed in and said that you wanted an image of two gentlemen in a radio station, and it created an image that wasn't the image that you wanted the first time that you created the prompt, but then you refined your prompt, and then you got an image that was sort of close to what you wanted. And one of the really neat things about these intelligence engines is that as we get a little bit more practiced and a little bit more sophisticated, we can actually upload our brand logos, and we can upload our company images. And so if we have an image of you and I, and we're the principals of our business, we can actually upload those images directly as attachments to that prompt and say, please use our brand logo and our brand colors. And then these artificial intelligence engines will actually create the images that use our brand logos and our colors directly in the images, so that it has our company's look and feel in the design. And then when we ask it to create a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth ad in a series of social media posts, it actually will create that continuity so that the look and feel for our series of social media posts all have that continuity that represent our company or represent our organization.
Can you stay over one more segment?
Sure can.
This is amazing. And last week we had probably an hour-long workshop, and we only gave you 30 minutes, and I thought that we got to continue this, and that's what we're doing on the radio. And here we are after the first hour, and there's so much more that we wanted to talk about in our outline. So I'm going to kind of, during the break, take a quick look at our outline and make sure, and listen, we're going to bring you back for one more segment because there's so many other things we need to talk about. So this is Tom Moulton, and I'm your host every Thursday, and this is The Morning Voice. And we're celebrating my birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Thank you for having a great guest today. And Matt, take it away and bring us into the new hour. And don't go anywhere, because we got 60 more minutes talking about everything you can imagine. Well, good morning. We're back for the 8 o'clock hour. And this is The Morning Voice. And I'm your Thursday host. I'm the executive director of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And last week, we held an AI workshop featuring the gentleman that's sitting across from me, and I think you can see us on Facebook. What's the Facebook, where can they find us?
1030 The Voice, Tom.
Hey, that sounds familiar. And one of the things we wanted to really share with you, because we're going to carry this over to at least one more segment, just because we have so much to talk about. When you go and look up Dr. Greg Watson on the internet, you're going to find out that this gentleman is well respected in the entrepreneurship world. And we thought we'd talk just a little bit the last segment of how important it is for those entrepreneurs of the world, the new ones coming out of Pima Community College or the University of Arizona. And there's a lot of startup programs in both almost all educational institutions, but But this is a world that's going to be changing because these entrepreneurship now have this tool called AI.
So we have an incredible entrepreneurship ecosystem here in Tucson. There's an abundance of wonderful institutions and a lot of organizations that really can help the aspiring entrepreneur that wants to pursue their passion or their dream, and a lot of different organizations that can help you with a specific trouble spots that you're facing if you're wanting to pursue your business idea, your business dream. And I have the privilege of being at Pima Community College right now. And it's exciting working with entrepreneurs. I'm a serial entrepreneur, so I retired when I was about 42 years old, and retired to the academic world. And it's my way of giving back to that community that gave me so very, very much. But artificial intelligence is a wonderful tool. It helps people that have an idea really brainstorm and develop the depth of understanding what goes into that idea and what makes a successful business. So the artificial intelligence tools that we have that are out here are really helping those aspiring entrepreneurs really develop more sophisticated business models and more sophisticated businesses. So it's exciting working with these startups because we get to delve deeper and develop more sophisticated solutions, and that's always pretty incredible. So I get that privilege of working with these wonderful young teams. Now, entrepreneurs aren't always young. A lot of the statistics show that the average entrepreneur is 40 to 55 years old. So I get to work with a lot of diverse teams. That's exciting here in the Tucson ecosystem.
Well, so you're teaching folks in marketing, and how do you, is there a way you in your class identify who has more potential to become an entrepreneur than those that don't?
So we talk about this concept called the entrepreneurial mindset, and I happen to believe that everybody has a good side hustle in them. And so I don't believe that entrepreneurship is exclusively limited to those rare individuals that are out there. So there's an old mindset that says, are entrepreneurs born, or can they learn to be entrepreneurs? And I think that if we look at an awful lot of people, everybody has done a side hustle at some point in time in their life. It's just a question of whether you find that business that's the right idea for you. And for entrepreneurship, it's really the question of can you take your ego and set your ego aside and really pursue the passions that are solving problems for other customers? So when we can go out and look at customers and talk to customers and say, what is the real pain point that you're trying to get solved and what are the solutions that you want solved, that's where we develop really wonderful and awesome businesses.
Now, La Encantada over there, off of Campbell and Sunrise, is one of our partners, one of our members, and they we have this book called The Tucson Attractions Savings Passport, and they wanted to do support one of their businesses, and that was Frost, and Frost, like any other tasty subject matter, if you can get encourage people to come into your store and taste their product, they may decide to buy a bigger bucket rather than the small bucket that they were given as part of, if you have a passport, you'll get a small bucket and of the, I don't know how many flavors they have at Frost, the gelato stand, but and the guys running that won the Entrepreneurship Award at the U of A. There was two folks, Steve and Jeff, and here they are at 20 years old.
Millionaires.
Yeah, and they're now millionaires, okay? And I knew them when they were working at a restaurant, okay? They're young lads, enthusiastic, passionate, had all of the skill sets that a good employee needs to have, that employers love. And then next thing I know, they invite me to their new businesses. There was three of them that started like boom, 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 and in town serving And we grew up with 21 flavors, you remember that. And gelato probably had 30 flavors, all fresh ingredients. And I asked them, how did this all start? And they just simply said that we wanted to do something different. We wanted to do something unique. And we researched it. And we traveled to, because we were interested in some kind of a edible dessert product. And they ended up heading into an Italian gelato shop, fell in love with the chef there, brought him to the United States. Opened up 3 gelato stands, and somebody from the Middle East contacted them and said, you know what? It's hot here. We want to introduce gelato. And next thing you know, there are now 18 stores. and they were probably, I don't know if they're listening or not, but I don't even think there were 30 yet, okay? And they're running a franchise with 18 restaurants, all of high quality, with an Italian chef, an Italian gelato chef. And they were entrepreneurs, okay, truly. And now, what does it take to be the entrepreneur of the year at the U of A? I'm just curious. Do you have a sense of what that means?
Well, really, it's trying to find what a customer wants and then delivering a product that's going to satisfy and delight them so that the customer comes back over and over again. So people often are surprised when they find out that I teach entrepreneurship and ethics, but I believe that those are one and the same thing, because we have to delight that customer so much that they come back a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth time. And when you are ethical and you are satisfying the customer so much that you've delighted them, that they just keep coming back. And very clearly, what is Frost doing? They're delighting that customer. They're satisfying that want, that need, that desire. And that customer just keeps coming back over and over and over again. And that is what an ethical entrepreneur does. They satisfy and delight the customer so that they keep coming back over and over again. And isn't that exciting?
Well, it's I don't eat ice cream anymore. I eat gelato. And so think about it. We just got another 2 minutes or so. Go back in time. And here are these two guys. They graduated from the U of A, Entrepreneur of the Year. And how could AI have helped them?
Well, AI empowers creativity, and that's the really cool and exciting thing about artificial intelligence tools that are out there. It allows us to work faster, better, smarter, to do deep dive explorations into ideas. It has the ability to access all these research databases, all of the internet, and so when you want to just ask a question to explore that, those initial exploration moments, we get to do deep dive questions and queries into the knowledge base that's existing out there on the internet. And we can develop incredible business models just by exploring and brainstorming ideas out there on the internet, just by pulling all of that data that's existing in social media. So when you think about all of the negative posts about the people's complaints on social media, whether it's Facebook or Reddit, we've got all of people's wants, needs, and desires, hopes being posted on social media, and we get to tap into that through artificial intelligence.
And one of the things they learn, very early on, it's a product that doesn't do well in your refrigerator or your freezer, for that matter.
So it's a product that has to be created fresh and delivered directly to the consumer.
I think no more than 2 days, I think, in the freezer, clearly. And they tapped into if you think about the environment back then, how people were trying to get away from processed foods, trying to eat healthier, and that's exactly what they tapped into. So, well, Dr. Watson, this has been extremely valuable information that you've given to our listening audience. And go out and, experiment, right? I mean, play. I mean, playing is okay because you can learn while you're playing.
And isn't it what keeps life joyful and fun and keeps us young and invigorated?
Well, tell us a little bit about how we can find out more information about Dr. Watson.
I have a website, ProfessorWatson.com and EntrepreneurshipEssentials.com. Those are my summer consulting jobs, but I teach at Pima Community College, where I teach entrepreneurship, marketing, and ethics. And so it is a joy to take care of the Pima area, the market area that we serve. And it is a privilege to be in the Tucson area. I don't know how big our audience is today, but isn't it a wonderful area that we live in?
Well, you got to be the first guest with our new social networking capabilities, as well as our 10:30 a.m. So I'm so glad you were here and you were a big part of that, because our audience has grown as of today. Because we're on that wonderful digital product called Facebook, which, as you know, was started by an entrepreneur at a college campus. And here we are today sharing information about entrepreneurship on the very vehicle that he created, called Facebook. So thanks again, Dr. Watson. So glad you were here. Thanks to the Ad Federation for introducing me to this wonderful person. And I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot more of you, because every year, every day, AI is changing. So thanks for joining us. And we'll be back here in about 3 minutes. And we're going to talk about, it's summertime and what is there to do in our region. Thank you. And this is 10:30, the Morning Voice on 10:30 a.m.
And if you'd like to watch on Facebook today, go to 10:30 The Voice on Facebook and watch the show as well as listen to it.
Well, good morning. And we're back. And we have our own AI guy here, Matt. Hey, Matt, thank you for being there, being behind the glass and making sure that everything is on cue. And boy, we had a great session. Some people are wondering, what does that have to do with tourism? Well, I have to tell you, like any hospitality industry, customer service is very, very important. When you greet it at the door and you're walking around that museum and the curators are friendly and helpful and the bathrooms are clean, the restaurant is stocked full of fresh fruit. You know, these are all kinds of things that go on when you visit an attraction. And often, because they're not run by a nonprofit, the folks that are there are very passionate about their job. And anything that helps them do a better job is so much beneficial to your visit. And that's why we thought that because we had an AI workshop for all of our attractions marketing folks last week, that we would take this information and pass it on to you so you can do a much better job at what you're doing. As Dr. Watson said, this is a tool. This is not a robotic organism that's going to replace you doing your job. This is how you can do a better job. And I think this was a welcome workshop to all of our marketing people, because they're all trying to do so much. And so many of them are starting to use AI now to help develop their Facebook ads and their television commercials and write press releases. And one of the things that I noticed in any of the AI programs, there's a disclaimer, if that's what it's called, saying, be sure to check your work. AI is not 100% replacement. So please be sure to check your work. And that's the experience that I've had. It gets it pretty good, and it learns about who you are, but there's still that human touch. And speaking of human touch, my A guy is Tim Vermerstedt. Good morning again, Tim.
Good morning, birthday boy.
So when I say Tim is my AI, he's more of, you remember a little show called Pinocchio, and it had this little guy named Jimmy Cricket. Jiminy Cricket, right, Matt? And Matt is like my Jiminy Cricket. He's the guy in my ear. St. Tom, it's time to go to break, or Tom, you forgot, you know. And this is exactly what, you know, it seems like that Tim, in the many years that we worked together, you know, we would have this meeting and Tim would call me into, or maybe not necessarily, he would say something like, you know what Tom really meant to say. Do you remember that, Tim?
That was my standard line. What Tom meant by that.
It's like the White House press office cleaning up with what various presidents have to say.
And I don't think he ever used the word cleaning up, but clearly, you know, Tom or Tim got to know who I was. And often, especially in something that was very, you know, kind of maybe controversial, because, you know, we all have topics that are a little bit controversial. But Tim would say, Tom, what Tom meant to say. And then, of course, I wouldn't get angry. I would just look at Tim, you know, with caring eyes and say, well, thank you, Tim, for bringing that up. About 98% of the time. right, yeah. Tim? You know, and it's a good thing you didn't have that recorder in your boot, but that's a whole other story.
that was a good story. My first day.
So, Tim, we ran over, and I thought it was a great topic. We had literally 8 pages outline here of what to talk about AI, and I think we got to only 3. But there's a few things that we wanted to talk about today, especially since Matt really helped introduce the topic for us, which is when he said it was going to be 102 today. Of course,
what's with that?
Well, my poor wife is sitting at home with no air conditioning, and I'm not going to call her and tell her, Matt, what you just said.
Ignorance is bliss. Is that the theory here on this one?
Well, I when I get out of the show, I got to talk to the air conditioning guy, and I suspect that there's probably 30 other people in front of me that they're, you know, of all times for the air conditioning to break, you know, it couldn't break during the you know, when the fall was here or the spring was here. It had to break right when it's going to be 102. So we're going to talk a little bit at the remaining time about, because it's 102 today, a lot of folks, you know, think that Tucson closes during the summer. And we are here today to demystify, since we use that word today, on that's not completely true, because there is a lot to visit during the summer. Over the years, we've had many, many new attractions open up. We're famous for our outdoor attractions for sure, but we're going to talk about Tim's and my favorite summer attractions. But before we do that, Tim, we get up just about 2.5 minutes. Can you get to that list that you talk about at the beginning of each hour? And we'll kind of go quickly on the Visit Tucson pass as well. But go ahead, Tim, and let's talk about that one big event, or maybe those 2 big events, and go right into the Visit Tucson new product.
All right. Well, we have Wyatt Earp Days down in Tombstone. Always a fun time. May 24th through May 26th, goes on from 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. right on Allen Street, in the center of Tombstone. And they're having Wyatt Earp look-alike contests and tons of great food. It's going to be a good time. There's always a fun motorcycle ride down there for me. And then Visit Tucson has launched their Summer Streetcar Savings Pass. They've been encouraging businesses along the free-to-ride streetcar line during our traditionally slow summer months. So users can sign up for a free digital savings pass that includes special deals like receiving up to 25% off select items, free beverages, buy one, get one free deals at participating businesses in the 4 entertainment districts. More than 50 businesses have already signed up to participate in this savings pass. So then the savings go throughout Main Gate Square, Historic 4th Avenue, downtown, and the Mercado districts.
Easy for you to say, Tim. Mercado. Yeah. Mercado.
what Tim meant by that was there are deals and discounts, participating restaurants, museums, clothing and gift shops, salons, barbers, music stores, yoga studios, bars, and more around downtown Tucson on the modern streetcar route.
Well, thank you, Tim. So, we're going to go to break here, but if you want to learn more, go to visit Tucson.org and this is Tucson.com. This is The Morning Voice with your host, Tom Moulton. And there's also another big event going on, and you missed that one, Timmy. It's my birthday today, so I'm here enjoying my birthday.
Well, he was the one that brought it up in the first hour.
That's right. So we'll be right back with more news about Tom's birthday and, of course, the summer attractions here in the community. Thank you, Matt. And we are the beta champions here on The Voice. Clearly, you can now see us live on Facebook as well as listen to us live on 10:30 a.m. Trusted local news and talk here in Tucson. Now, we started this morning at 7 o'clock talking about AI. And, being a fellow that's been around for a while, we used to call AI mentors, right, Matt? We had somebody that was always willing to help us grow personally, or maybe even give us a little bit of constructive criticism.
Well, it's a great productivity enhancement, isn't it?
It's all about...
Can help you smooth out a letter.
Yes,
right? Change the tone of a letter.
I think the key word is constructive, because it's, first of all, it's a machine. It's it's a little bit different than sometimes when people give you constructive criticism, but it's on demand. It's there right when you need it, or right when you want a little bit of help, in where your mentor, your live mentor, isn't necessarily there, or you don't currently have a mentor. And I've had the pleasure of having many mentors over the year that have helped me in my career. And now I have this other new tool called AI, and it helps me. I still have to be in charge of the content often and what I do, but it makes me shine. And I think, again, I really enjoyed, the one thing I really enjoyed about the AI discussion was that they get to know who you are. It's not some obscure machine out there that they learned about who you are. They learn your brand, and they can actually, which is a little bit scary, talk as if it's really you talking. So that's going to be interesting to see how that works into your own career as well. But
so there's going to be Tom Moulton cyborgs running around?
Man, I have no idea what they would look like, but I'm sure if I ask AI, what does a cyborg Moulton look like?
That's right.
I'm going to do that as soon as I get into the
office.
That
way you can travel
today
and host the show at the same time.
Well, we
Alan
talked
Keith
about,
will be really happy.
We talked about how can we, clone ourselves. So there you go. Tim, but I have Tim as my co-host, so he's been my mentor, my conscience, my little Jiminy Cricket in my head, and sometimes speaks as if I was the one who was speaking. So thank you, Tim, for all that time. And he joins me every morning, every Thursday morning, and talks about his favorite special events, and we're gonna kind of round out the show. But first, Matt, I think let's take at least one or two calls on this particular subject, which is, what is your favorite summer attraction in Tucson? So how can they call us and share that information?
520-790-2040. That's 790-2040. And real quick, we heard from Bill Ackerley wishes you a happy birthday, and Pat Hirsch says hi, you sound great, and also wishes you a happy birthday. So Pat Hirsch, Bill Ackerley have joined the chat on the live stream, so thanks, guys. But yeah, if you'd like to call in, 790-2040.
Yeah, those Ackerley brothers are really behind this show. And as you know, Dr. Ed Ackerley will be on the show tomorrow at 7 o'clock when he talks about all about U of A and really interesting topics about the research that's going on and the people behind the scenes at the University of Arizona. So, Timmy, let's, you know, of all the attractions, as you know, there's 130 or so in the community. Most of them are, we're lucky to have them as members of the SAAA. But what's the one, the attraction that must see during the summer here in the Tucson, Southern Arizona area, Tim?
For me, it would be Cool Summer Nights at the Desert Museum.
Perfect. Why did I think you were going to say that? And what makes that so special?
It's just when the desert comes alive at night, the animals are active, the docents are excited to do presentations, great food. It was always funny when I worked there, the directors, we would have a meeting every Thursday, and at the beginning of summer, we would hand out calendars, and every director would have to sign up to be MOD for at least two or three shifts during the three-month summer. And as soon as we got out of that meeting, every director ran up to me and said, "Hey, can you take this shift for me? Can you take that shift for me?" I'm like, "Absolutely, I'm here anyways. I wouldn't miss one." And so it was always just an amazing experience, great dining, great interpretations of the desert after sunset. It's about 20 degrees cooler out there. No asphalt to hold in the heat. So that would be my number one choice.
Yeah, and we talked about that last week. I think it was it June 4th, where the first is that the first Saturday in June, and that's when the Summer Nights kicks off again for another summer. And great choice, Tim. My favorite is the mini time machine of miniatures. And this started out as a private person's collection, and she wanted to share it with the world. And and this was actually on her property located out there in Swan and Camp Low, Fort Low area. And it's not just for kids. I mean, you know, you would think miniatures and there would be dollhouses and things like that, but it's much more than just dollhouses. I mean, if you think the way life began, it often began as a model or as a miniature. They have a wonderful tree in the middle of the museum where it's kind of a gathering place for, but it's definitely a family attraction and has a lot of neat stuff going on. And so we would highly recommend Mini Time Machine of
Absolutely.
Miniatures. And it's probably one of our newest attractions here in town, even though it's been open for a while. And they forever, we always mentioned them as a family attraction, but they want to be known as an art and cultural attractions. And I think a lot of these miniatures are done by artists, and so that's why they want it to be known as part of the arts and cultural community. Now, obviously, most of our adventure and family fun, so many of those are either in the early morning or in the late evening, as you mentioned. And FC Tucson is back as one of our newest members. And they have soccer in the evening over there at Keno Sports Complex and their soccer. So we would highly recommend enjoying collegiate / semi-professional. It's a training network for really the stars of soccer, Major League Soccer. And you can see them play here, and they play folks from all over the United States as well, other training teams. And so I would make sure you kind of look up FC Tucson because they're back, and they're really, if you love soccer, it's great soccer. They also have a women's league, and they also have a children's league as well. So a lot of different kinds of soccer. Spectator soccer sports to go out and visit with them. And Mount Lemmon's Ski Valley, I know we tried to get her on the phone last night, but Mount Lemmon is got to be the most favorite place to go to for an outdoor adventure during the summer, because if it's 100 here, it's 80 there, maybe even a little bit less. And you know, it's a great place to go visit, wonderful restaurants. You can take a sky ride up. The ski resort runs their sky ride or ski lift through the summer hours, and you can go up and you can get off and we'll look around, or you can just continue on and go and come on back down. But it's a wonderful adventure, and of course the restaurant associated with Ski Valley, with the best corn muffins, best chili, and of course they've kind of taken over for the dessert location. Remember, Tim, the wonderful place up there that you can have desserts?
Oh yeah, the old pie stop.
Yep, over there in Summer Haven.
Yep.
And unfortunately, it's not open right now, but a lot of those pies have made their way to, I think it's called the, she'll get at me if I forget what it's called. So, but their restaurant, it's an Iron Door
Iron Door.
Iron Door. Okay, I got that one. Door. So she's not going to find me today.
Right. Not trouble. What Tom meant by that.
thank you, Tim. But let's also not forget about some natural environments as well. And we'll talk more about that when we come back. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm Tom Moulton, your host and birthday boy for today. Well, we're back for the last segment. We've been very fortunate to have one of the premier artificial intelligence experts here in our community, and we're all learning how to do the job smarter and better and faster. I think that was what he told us all about, Matt, and we're going to start doing that as soon as we get out of here. Tim and I are talking about the best summer attractions, and by no means, if we don't mention it, doesn't mean that it's not a great attraction. And where we left off is we were starting to talk about where these attractions are always a perfect 72 degrees. Tim, is that enough of a clue of what I'm talking about?
A perfect 72 degrees? No, it's not.
Is it 70?
No.
No, we're talking about Colossal Cave.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously it's our wonderful natural cave here on the, you know, right off of Old Spanish Trail, and it's been operating as a show cave since the 50s when Joe and Marty Marhauser were operating it on behalf of the state. And somewhere along the line, it became a county park, Colossal Cave Mountain Park, and the cave tour is a big part of your experience there. They've done a lot of improvements in the surrounding area, paving the roads and paving the parking lot, and a few years ago, a new management contract was issued to Ortega and National Park Systems, and that now the staff that's out there has done some wonderful work on lighting inside the cave and opening a restaurant out there. But it's always a perfect 72 degrees. once you go down into the cave, and just unlike most of the attractions here in the community, the summer is the busiest time for Colossal Cave. And you've been there, Tim?
I have. It's one of my favorite motorcycle rides out Old Spanish Trail to Colossal Cave. And it's an amazing property.
It is.
One of the first places I visited when I first came to Tucson in 1978, we had family out here, and we came out for a visit, and that's where they took us, July of 78.
Yeah, I was out there for a special event with the park and rec director at that time. And it was some kind of a party. I think it might have been his birthday party, and we were at Colossal Cave. And then after the function, we went in and did a nice tour. There was a movie that was shot inside the cave, and it was about the legend of Colossal Cave, where the outlaws stored a bunch of money in there, and then over the years, people would go to the cave and probably try to break away from the tour guide and find the money that was left over from the bank robbery. I don't think there was ever any money in there, or if not, we'll never know who got the money. But legends are an important part of Colossal Cave for sure. Now, there's also a Queen Mine Tour in Bisbee. There's also the Good Enough Mine in Tombstone and the Tough Nut Mine in Tombstone as well, where they have dinner theater, which is really interesting, which is something they only do right before the they do it during the fall and winter, and then they have to stop that because in heavy downpours that there's a possibility that particular mine would flood, but not Colossal Cave and not Karchner Cavern or not the Queen Mine Tour. Those caves are open year-round, so we take a break and go in and visit a natural scenic show cave, as we call them in the industry. And then we can't forget about Flandrau. We're about ready to end the show, but the Flandrau Science Center and Planetarium just won the top four planetariums in the United States, and that's a great place to go visit. Besides all their science exhibits, they also have a wonderful 180-degree theater there where you can see both topical movies and also science movies about the stars. Because that's where the planetarium is. So, well, we've had a great time talking about AI and just briefly touched about some of the things there are to do here in the summer. And we appreciate you listening. We'll be back next Thursday, where we're going to listen and hear from Scott Marchand, the CEO of PMAR in Space. We're going to learn about the Philippine Mars flying boat, and we're going to learn about the military museum, transportation military museum, also brand new at Pima Air and Space. Well, this is Tom Moulton. Thank you. Dr. Ackerley will be here tomorrow at 7 o'clock, and we'll see you next Thursday. Have a good day.